listening or viewing online as well. Turn with me in your Bibles this evening to the book of Ezekiel in chapter 11. The book of Ezekiel in chapter 11. Told you last week when we concluded chapter 10 that we would begin chapter 11 this week, and Lord willing, and here we are, and so we'll begin to look at it. We want to read the whole chapter this evening, but before we do, we give you a little summary of what this chapter is about. This chapter contains an account of the sins of the princes of Judah, with a prophecy of their destruction. And we have some promises of comfort also in this chapter in regards to those of the captivity, which as we get into the book and begin to read it and study it, you're going to see that they need these words of comfort. And then the chapter closes out with the vision of the Lord removing the glory of the Lord, and that vision of the glory of the Lord removing from the city, removing from Jerusalem. And then the vision is ended. The vision is ended, and the prophet Ezekiel is obedient and speaks all that the Lord had showed him to the captives. It is basically divided up into two messages. One, first of all, a message of wrath against those who continued still at Jerusalem and were there in, well, shall we say, proud, a haughty confidence of security, a proud and haughty confidence of security, thinking they should never fall. They were the good ones because they continued yet in Jerusalem. And the captives, get out of here. You don't belong here. You're suffering the judgment of God. So we have a second message. And it is a message to those captives. It's a message of comfort to those who are in captivity in Babylon. And so, because they were in captivity in Babylon, they were despondent. And they were in need of these words of comfort and this assurance from the Lord. Because their scorners, their mockers, the ones remaining in Jerusalem, were telling them, "You'll never rise again. This land's not yours." But just as God promised judgment to those remaining in Jerusalem, He promises to these in captive that He'll be with them. He'll be with them in the captivity in the lands in which they're scattered throughout. And we find that in verses 14 through 21. The first message is in verses 1 through 13. And then the glory of God removes, in verses 22 to 23, And then the visions ended in verse 24, and then the prophet speaks all that the Lord had showed him to the captives in verse 25. So let's begin reading. That gives you a little bit of an idea of what to look for as we read through the chapter and what we'll be dealing with as we go through this chapter. In verse 1, "Moreover, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me unto the east gate of the Lord's house, which looketh eastward, and behold, at the door of the gate, 25 men, among whom I saw Jezaniah, the son of Azar, and Pelatiah, the son of Benani, princes of the people. Then said he unto me, Son of man, these are the men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel in this city, which say, It is not near, let us build houses. This city is the cauldron, and we be the flesh. Therefore, prophesy against them. Prophesy, O son of man. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, Speak. Thus saith the Lord, Thus have ye said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come unto you, your mind, every one of them. Ye have multiplied your slain in this city, and ye have filled the streets thereof with the slain. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Your slain, whom ye have laid in the midst of it, they are the flesh, and this city is the cauldron, but I will bring you forth out of the midst of it. Ye have feared the sword, and I will bring a sword upon you, saith the Lord God. And I will bring you out of the midst thereof, and deliver you into the hand of strangers, and will execute judgments among you. Ye shall fall by the sword. I will judge you in the border of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord." How many times have we encountered that? "And ye shall know that I am the Lord. This city shall not be your cauldron, neither shall ye be the flesh in the midst thereof, but I will judge you in the border of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. For ye have not walked in my statutes, neither executed my judgments, but have done after the manners of the heathen that are round about you. And it came to pass, when I prophesied, that Pelatiah the son of Benaiah died. Then fell I down upon my face and cried with a loud voice and said, Ah, Lord God, wilt thou make a full end of the remnant of Israel? Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel, holy are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get you far from the Lord. Unto us is this land given in possession. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, Although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. Then did the cherubims lift up their wings, and the wheels beside them, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them above. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood upon the mountain, which is on the east side of the city. Afterwards, the Spirit took me up and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God into Chaldee to them of the captivity. So the vision that I had seen went up from me. That vision which he had seen in chapters 8, chapters 9, chapters 10, and now chapter 11 was ended. Then I spake unto them of the captivity all the things that the Lord had showed me. What a vision. What a vision it was. What a vision it has been as we have gone through it in this remaining chapter. What a vision we shall see. In verses 1 through 13, we're dealing primarily with the princes of the people. The princes of the people, and they are wicked princes. They're not good princes. They are wicked. The prophet Ezekiel was brought by the Spirit. Then moreover, the Spirit lifted me up. What Spirit? That's the same Spirit that we had in the 8th chapter. Turn back with me just to chapter 8 and verse 3. It said, and he put forth the form of an hand, and took me by a lock of mine head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. So it was the Spirit, same Spirit. Same Spirit in chapter 8 now moves him in chapter 11. First time he moves him after he gets to the inner gate, or inner court in Jerusalem. We'll be looking at that. This is the same Spirit. And he brought him from the inner court. Now, the verse we just read to you, he was not in the inner court yet. But look with me at verse 16 in chapter 8. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men, and their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. He took him to the inner court. And we find him in the inner court, and from the inner court is where he got the rest of his vision. In chapters 9 and chapter 10, and now in chapter 11, until he moves him in verse 1 here, and he moves him to the east gate of the temple. And what was at the east gate of the temple? Well, if you remember last week, what was at the east gate of the temple? That's where the cherubim and the wheels and the glory of God moved to. Was to the east, the door of the east gate. Look with me in chapter 10 and verse 19. And the cherubims lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the wheels also were beside them, and everyone stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them above. So we find them all at the door of the east gate. Remember last week we said a sign that the glory of the Lord and those cherubim and the wheels are getting ready to leave the house of the Lord and the city of Jerusalem. Verse 1 of our chapter 11 tells us about 25 men. Well, we just read in verse 16 of the 8th chapter of 25 men. Well, the 25 men here in chapter 11 are not the same as the 25 men that we saw at the door of the temple worshiping towards the east in verse 16. And even worshiping the sun. They were between the porch and the altar, where they were positioned in chapter 8, those 25. But these 25 are at the door of the eastern gate and seem to have been civil magistrates. Remember we said those 25 back in chapter 8 were elders of the Israelites. These seem to have been some kind of civil magistrates. They were charged with giving false and wicked counsel. But two of the men, did you notice that when we read that? Two of the men stand out above all the rest of them. Two of the men. Jezaniah. And his name means he that assists. He that assists. Is there any connection with Jezaniah and Pelatiah? Any indication that Jezaniah was assisting Pelatiah? Maybe so. But not the same Jezaniah. Remember, we had a Jezaniah in chapter 8, in verse 11. But that Jezaniah was the son of a different man. Chapter 8 and verse 11. It says, and there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. So this Jezaniah in chapter 8 was the son of Shaphan. This Jezaniah is the son of Azar. Two different Jezaniahs. And then the other one is Pelatiah. Pelatiah, his name means Jehovah delivers. Well, Jehovah delivers, yes. But as we find here, he doesn't deliver Pelatiah. And these 25 men. I mean, Pelatiah and the other 24. He delivers, in essence, he delivers those in captivity. Or you say, how can you say he delivers those that are in captivity? Because he's going to be with them. And they have a promise of him being with them. For the period of time while they're in captivity. He'll be with them. He'll be their sanctuary for that period of time. While they're in captivity or scattered abroad. So Pelatiah means Jehovah delivers, but not Pelatiah. And we'll see the Lord is a deliverer. And we know the Lord is a deliverer. He delivered me. And if you're here tonight and say, if he delivered you, you see. These two men, because they're named above the others, we don't have the names of the other 23, but we have these two names of the 25. Because their names seem to have been principal men, and they seem to have been known by Ezekiel. He knew their names. So Ezekiel, obviously coming from Israel, from Jerusalem, knew these two men. Now some say that Jerusalem, now some say, I have no way of proving or disproving. But some say that Jerusalem was divided into 24 parishes. And that these were the governors or aldermen of those parishes with their mayor or president. Well, that sounds plausible, doesn't it? That we said earlier that they seem to have been civil magistrates. Well, that would fit the bill, wouldn't it? Of a civil magistrate. But let that be neither here nor there. So it seems they were men who were entrusted with authority to exercise the laws of the nation. That's important. They would have been in charge of executing, seeing to it the laws of the nation were carried out. That's what a civil magistrate is to do. And they ought to have reproved the nation for not obeying the laws of the land and given them counsel to obey the laws of the land. Princes of the people. That's what our text said. It said Jezaniah and Pelatiah, princes of the people. But as we're going to see, they were wicked princes. They were evil princes. They gave false counsel. They gave counsel that was contrary to the counsel to the word of the Lord. And so, we'll begin by looking at the character of these princes. And verse 2 gives us, the start of that character. He said in verse 2, "Then said he unto me, Son of man, these are the men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel in the city." Pelatiah and Jezaniah assisting Pelatiah in that devising of mischief and giving wicked counsel. Turn with me to the book of the Psalms. As we think of this devising mischief and giving wicked counsel, Psalms chapter 36 I want to begin reading with verse 1. And then we'll end with verse 4. And pay attention. Think about these words. Think about what the psalmist is here saying. Think about Jaazaniah, Pelatiah, and them devising mischief and giving wicked counsel. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. Does that sound like Jaazaniah and Pelatiah? They were flattering themselves. We said in the beginning they were proudful and haughty in their confidence. That they were secure from the judgment of God, contrary to what God had said. And they were given wicked counsel, and so it's found to be hateful. Because it's not the word of the Lord. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He has left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Jaazaniah felt guilty of all of this. This is what was in their heart. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs. In chapter 6. Look with me here, beginning with verse 12. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. An evil mouth, a wicked mouth. They gave wicked counsel. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. It sounds like Jaazaniah and Pelatiah devising mischief, yea, even upon their bed, and giving wicked counsel. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Isn't that what he's doing among Israel? I mean, they're telling the people back in Jerusalem one thing, and then they're scorning and ridiculing and mocking the ones in captivity in Babylon. They're telling them, you got what's coming to you. You're the wicked. That's why you're off in captivity. But we're fixed in the land. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. Remember we read Pelatiah's calamity that came suddenly? That caused the prophet Ezekiel to fall down and plead? These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren, and Peltiah and Jazaniah are guilty of all of them. It's abomination unto the Lord. They were lifted up with pride and arrogance against the Lord and against His people. Chapter 16 of Proverbs. Verse 27. An ungodly man diggeth up evil. I'd have to say tonight that Jazaniah and Peltiah were ungodly men, for they dug up evil. And in his lips there is as a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth the chief friends. A violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. As a magistrate, they were leading the people into a way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise forward things, moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. Yep. And we're going to see that evil come to pass upon them. Chapter 24. Proverbs. Verse 8. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. What's the verdict on Jazaniah and Peltiah? They're mischievous people. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to man. And they were scorning their brethren, which be in Babylon. They're evil men, wicked men. These 25 men were leaders. And two princes that stood above the other 23, Peltiah and his assistant Jazaniah. They were boasting of security contrary to the word of the Lord. Many of the captives in Babylon were expecting a quick return to their homeland. But Jeremiah had sent a letter correcting that idea. Don't expect a quick return. We're going to be spending quite a bit of time in Jeremiah, or looking at several different passages in Jeremiah, in the course of this. Jeremiah chapter 29, we have the writing, the words of that letter. Jeremiah chapter 29, and begin with verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 14. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests and to the prophets and to all the people when Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jeconiah the king and the queen and the eunuchs, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, And Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophet and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished, how many of the captives would die in that 70-year span, and how many children would grow up to be old men in that span? We know one, Daniel, a young lad when he was taken to Babylon, 16 to 18 years of age, it's thought to be. And we find him when he ends the words of his prophecy in Daniel, to be an old man of 80 or above. I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. This is the letter that Jeremiah sent to them, had written to them, giving them assurance they would return to this place. But not till 70 years were fulfilled. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Those were the words of the letter that Jeremiah sent, and these princes were contradicting the words of the letter that Jeremiah sent. He threatened those left in Jerusalem with the sword, with the famine, and with pestilence in verse 17 of that chapter, which we didn't get to and read. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send upon them that remain in Jerusalem, the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, and will make them like vile figs that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. Who are the evil ones? Well, it sounds like to me like the majority of the evil ones are the ones in Jerusalem. 25, in mockery of the prophet, said, "It is not near. Let us build houses." That's what they said. They took the words of the prophet and they said, "It's not near. Let us build houses." In verse 3. Which say, "It is not near. Let us build houses. This city is the cauldron. We be the flesh." They didn't believe the word of the Lord. We read that in verse 5 that Jeremiah had set in the letter. Build houses. These men turn it up and tell the people in Jerusalem, "It's not near. You go ahead, build your houses and do with you what you want." Which in essence, Jeremiah was telling the people in captivity, "It's going to be 70 years. You build your houses. And you marry your sons, marry wives. And your daughters, you marry husbands. And you rear up children that weren't to intermarry with the Chaldeans, with the Babylonians. They were to marry among the captives and raise up children that they be not diminished and that they die not out in captivity." That was the plan of the Lord. That was the word of the Lord to them. You see, but these men in mockery of that, they took confidence in and instructed others that they were in Jerusalem and not like the captives in Babylon, as the flesh in the cauldron is safe from the fire, so are we. That's what they were saying. Look at what Jeremiah said from the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 13. "And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, a cauldron, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, Out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdom of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah, and I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hand." It doesn't sound to me like they're going to be safe in the cauldron, in the city, Jerusalem. No, it sounds to me like the city of Jerusalem is going to be a seething pot to their destruction. You see? Because they're evil. And they're wicked men. They were scoffers. Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 12. We read, "They have belied the Lord and said, It is not He, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine." This is Jeremiah prophesying of these of whom Ezekiel is witnessing it. Let's look at chapter 8 of Ezekiel. In verse 12. Didn't they seem to be scoffers back here? Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery, for they say, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. Sounds like mockery to me, doesn't it? Sounds like they're scorning the Lord here. Well, I would like to close this thought tonight. We got more to say on the characters of these princes. But I'd like to close tonight with the fact that there's scoffers in every age. Scoffers in every age. What am I saying? Let us not be scoffers. Let us not be guilty of scoffing the word of the Lord. Turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Chapter 3. Verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. We can go back to the days of the flood. We can talk about the scoffers in those days. What are you doing, Noah? I'm building a boat. I'm building an ark. An ark? What do we need an ark for? Judgment of the Lord is coming. He's sending a flood. Gonna wipe everybody out that's not in the ark. Noah, what's rain, Noah? We've never heard of rain. Well, they weren't scoffing when the rains came and the floods came, were they? I can just hear them banging on the sides of the ark. Let us in, Noah! Let us in, Noah! Well, Noah couldn't even let himself in. Noah went in at the command of the Lord, and the Lord shut the door. And then when the waters had abated, the Lord opened the door. Look at verse 12. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the Lord, day of the Lord God, wherein the heaven being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Do you? Do you? Are you looking? Are you watching? Are you expecting the day of the Lord to come? It's the word of the Lord. It's a promise in His word. It's sure. Or do we mock it? Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Do you count the long-suffering of God? Do you count the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has not yet appeared in the air and taken His people out of here? Do you count that as the long-suffering of God, that He is being long-suffering? That He has some yet to be saved? as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. They rest at them, they twist them to their own destruction. They're scoffers. What are those ones who say, I got a revelation, the Lord is coming on October the 18th of 2020, and they all go up in that mountain there. What are they? They're twisting the word of the Lord, and they're scoffers. Because the same word of the Lord that promised the coming of the Lord and promised a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness is the same Lord that said, no man knoweth the hour or the time. No man. There's scoffers. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Keep your eyes upon the Lord. Look to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Get in His Word. Fill your heart with it. Fill your mind with it. One of the reasons why we keep stressing, I know we're some are older than others, but we're all getting older. And the older we get, the more difficult it gets. It's been much easier when we were children to learn and memorize Scripture. But it's still important. We can do it if we set our mind to it. If we don't create a mental block, you know how my memory, you know how I... No, we just have to work at it. Ask the Lord to help us. You see, we can do it after a fashion in His time. It's important. It's important that we look to the Lord, that we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, that we be